close our show today, I'd like to read excerpts from a tribute to our fallen comrade, Staaten Lind, an author, activist, labor lawyer, and historian who died on November 17. In this tribute, his friend and fellow activist, Andy Piasek, summarizes Lind's legacy to the left. The article, originally written several years before Lind died, is entitled Forever Young, Staaten Lind. It was published online in Countercurrents on November 21st of this year. You can find a link to the full article on the Moles webpage at kboo.fm. Suddenly, Staaten Lind is all the rage, again. In the last several years, Lind has published a number of new books as well as new editions of classics, such as Rank and File, plus a memoir co-authored with his wife, Alice. In an epic of imperial hubris and corporate class warfare on steroids, a Lind revival could hardly have come at a better time. Soldier, coal miner, 60s veteran, recent college graduate, there's much to be gained by all from a study of Lind's life and work. In so doing, it's inspiring to discover how frequently he was in the right place at the right time and, more importantly, on the right side. During the tumultuous summer of 1964, Lind was invited to coordinate the Freedom Schools established in Mississippi by the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee, SNCC. The schools were an integral part of the Herculean effort to end apartheid in the United States and become models for alternative schools everywhere. That August, Lind supported the Mississippi Freedom Democratic Party, or MFDP, at the Democratic Party Convention. Led by Fannie Lou Hamer and Bob Moses, the MFDP had earned the right to represent their state with their blood and their extraordinary courage. Instead, the party hierarchy supported the official and illegal delegation, a pathetic band of reactionaries who, the irony is too delicious, supported not the candidate of their own party, Lyndon Johnson, but his opponent and their ostensible enemy, Republican Barry Goldwater, for president. In early 1965, Lind spoke at Carnegie Hall in one of the first events organized in opposition to the U.S. invasion of Vietnam. A short time later, Students for a Democratic Society, or SDS, asked him to chair the first national demonstration against the war, where he was again a keynote speaker. That April 17, a crowd of 25,000 turned out in Washington. And what would become the largest anti-war movement in U.S. history was born. Later that summer, Lind helped organize the Assembly of Unrepresented People in Washington, timed to coincide with the 20th anniversary of the murder of tens of thousands of civilians in Hiroshima and Nagasaki. The gathering also included a rally at the White House, where peace with the people of Vietnam was declared. Lind has recalled the bemusement with which the relatively small band of demonstrators was received by those charged with protecting the government from its people. In reply, Lind told a military police officer that they were the first of what would eventually be millions, a statement that sooner than anyone could have imagined proved prophetic. By 1967, a majority of people in the U.S. had declared peace with Vietnam. Lind would continue as one of the seminal figures of the 1960s. He was both a tireless organizer and the author of numerous articles in important movement publications. With Michael Ferber, he documented the movement against the military draft in The Resistance, one of the best books about 60s organizing. Lind was an enthusiastic supporter of the New Left and embraced precepts like participatory democracy and decentralization. Ex-radicals of his generation, like Irving Howe, Bayard Rustin, and Michael Harrington, by contrast, spent much of the 60s attacking SNCC and SDS. Lind spoke for many when he mocked their enthusiasm for Johnson and the Democrats as a, quote, coalition with the Marines. This, too, proved uncannily prophetic. Within a year of being elected in 1964, Johnson, 1, ordered a massive escalation in Vietnam, 2, sent an invasion force to the Dominican Republic to support military thugs who had overthrown a democratically elected government, and 3, armed and funded an incredibly violent coup in Indonesia in which over 1 million people were killed. The peace candidate, indeed. At the end of 1965, Lind made a fateful trip to Hanoi, where he witnessed the carnage inflicted by U.S. bombers. Up to that point, he was one of the most promising new scholars in the country. Upon his return, however, his career in academia was essentially at an end. A tenure-track position at Yale suddenly disappeared. Department heads at other universities enthusiastically offered teaching positions only to be overruled by higher-ups. Lind never looked back. He became an accomplished scholar outside the academy and one of the most perceptive and prolific chroniclers of history from below, with a special interest in working-class organizing. From a series of interviews, he and his wife Alice produced the groundbreaking book Rank and File, which begat the Academy Award-nominated documentary film Union Maids. Lind moved to Ohio in 1976, became an attorney, and when the mills in Youngstown began to close, assisted steelworkers in an unsuccessful attempt to take them over. In a book he wrote about the effort, the fight against shutdowns, Youngstown's steel mill closings, Lind explored the biggest little secret of all, one that people everywhere would do well to heed. We who do the work can build a better world, and we can best do it without the parasitic super-rich who contribute nothing and weigh us down like a monstrous ball and chain. Lind has seen more than his share of colleagues come and go. Some flamed out after a brief period of frantic busyness. Others moved on to different lives and nice-paying gigs. Well into his 80s, Lind offers long-term commitment, long-distance running, as he calls it, and accompaniment. Professionals living alongside workers and the unrepresented and contributing much-needed skills to the struggle for freedom, all the while walking side by side as equals. He also believes, as passionately as ever, that a better world is indeed possible. That tribute was written while Lind was still living by his friend, longtime activist, and award-winning author, Andy Piasek. You can find a link to the article on our webpage.